Some of y'all don't know me, but I get to say y'all now. I've been there 10 years, so they said I could say it. So some of y'all don't know me, but let me tell you something. God does things in powerful ways. And so this message that I'm bringing has been a culmination of thoughts and things that God's just put on me. And what I'll do is I'll take them in my notes. When God speaks to me, I'll put them in a note, and then sometimes they'll become a message and sometimes they won't. But it's kind of funny that this one has been pounding the pavement, if you will. And if you saw what it's about being known, right? And so as we're worshiping, I'm not what I make. I'm who you are, who you have made me to be. I'm not what I've done. I'm loved unconditionally. I'm not loved by my measure of love that I bring. I am not who I know. I am known by the King of all kings. Let me tell you something. A lot of people here know me, and some of you that are new. Again, my name's Fran Rowe. This is my beautiful wife, Heidi. This was the foundation of where God has brought us. And for so much of my life, I've been trying to be known in my own way. And I think this message is going to be hard for me to preach, because we all try to be known, right, in our own certain way. But we have to understand that God is omnipresent. He's before, he's in the middle, and he's what's to come. So our vision of being known is far different than what God's vision of being known is. We've already been known. We've already have a purpose. It's the harder it is for me, the more, and I'm going to get into this, into the message, the more Christian I become, the harder it is for me to understand how God knew me from an omnipresent standpoint. It's written, he knows every hair on your head. It's written that he knew you before creation. This is a big deal. And as I'm moving forward in my, and listen, I'm in process. If anybody thinks that they've reached the point of Christianity where you can just, you know, meet Peter at the gate, give him an arm bump and walk through the door, that's not a good church to be in. We need to be growing, stretching, and struggling as a church. That's why he says gather together. Okay, so I don't want to go off the tangent, but you can go ahead and put up the first slide, and I'm not as good as Dick, so if I screw it up, how are we known? I kind of touched on that. Who does God say I am? Listen, I'm still broke, but let me tell you, God's been putting me together, and when I walked through those doors, I was broken. And you know what? I walked through this door today. Thank God. I can't wait till they get that fixed. That looks beautiful, and by the way. I walk in that door. I'm still broken, but it's a different kind of broken. I already know who I am, but I got to learn to understand who God knows me as. Okay? So we're going to get into that. And some of the things we're going to talk about is committing yourself to know God. Those are some of the things we're going to talk about today. Become the person that God has chosen you to be. Not who Dick says I should be, or not who Nate needs to be. It's who God says for me to be. And be a good steward of time, talent, and treasures. Listen, if God created you, and he's omnipresent, and he knew what you were going to do before, don't rob somebody else of a gifting that you have. You see empty seats in here, right? I used to tell people, you know, we need to get people in these seats. We got to get them full. That mentality is not God's mentality. God's mentality is, who's not in that seat? And who's going to bring that person to that seat? See, we always put it on God, that God's going to call those. And God says he will. Dick Beaumont is the one that planted the seed in me. When I walked through this door, what, 15 years, 20 years? How long ago? It's been a long time. He's old. But I was busted. And I came in here, and he said, I know you don't understand this. Just keep coming. And listen, in 15 short years, God has done a work in me that I cannot take any ounce of credit. None. He's brought me to the country of Ukraine. to preach to a Christianity. And let me tell you something. You want to talk about committed to Christ. I might be a little abrasive today, but we take too much advantage of everything that we're given here. And let me tell you something. When somebody comes up and asks for prayer and they don't speak the same language and they just know that you're going to be given a word and you're going to be saying something into their heart, they have no idea. I could have ordered a pizza. But they're going to know that I'm coming in the name of Jesus to pray over his life. You will never understand that until you do that. Last year, I went to Georgia. Same situation. Preaching to people that just want Jesus. Listen, God doesn't need you to have perfect words. He doesn't need you to have perfect process in how you do it. God just wants you to speak into people's lives. We make this stuff too hard. And here's the thing. Nobody's going to know me in 100 years. Nobody. Nobody's going to know me in 5 years. You probably won't even remember this sermon. I hope you pull one thing out. One of the proudest things I was talking about was Cynthia. She told me about having smashed up armor. Now, I had a 40-minute message, but that one thing stuck out to her. And that means something. Those are the things that you're supposed to hang on to. That wasn't my word that came out. That was God's word. And somebody needed it. And she needed it. And you know what? If she uses that as a tool moving forward, God bless God for doing that. Amen? Here's a better question. Who is responsible for your salvation? Do you know? I'm going to tell you, it was inevitably God. God had that in plan long before you even knew it. And he knew exactly what person was going to do it. Now, whether we answer the call, that's on us. And my person was Dick Beaumont. God selected him a long time ago. He drives me nuts. But I love him. Hey, did he realize how far this would go? He was just being obedient, right? He's reaching out. He's doing what God called him to do. Foundationally, this is the place that was it for me. But he is one of the founding pillars of where I'm going in my Christian walk. And you know what? He'll say, all glory to God. And you're right. All glory to God. And all glory to God for allowing him to hear him and transform my life. Simple as that. And who brought him to the Lord? He shared this morning. Somebody shared John 3:3 with him. That's a great thing. What about the person before him or before her? See, we see people that were known, and we think they're great and they're awesome, but you have no idea how great and awesome you are. It's because we are seeking to know all these important people. Trust me, they're important. I'm making light of that. But I want you to understand how important you are to God. And if God is so interested in where you are in your life, you might want to pay attention and figure out, why does this guy like me so much? Because that was a struggle for me. I'm a busted, broken person, and this guy just wants me to keep going. And I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try as hard as I can. I don't want to get too off on a tangent, because this is one of those messages. We could be here till 4 o'clock. We won't, because I got other things going on. But how did you get here today? I know a couple people. I called them up, said, hey, I'm coming. I'm going to be preaching up here. Why don't you come? Now, whether they get saved, whether they are saved, whatever their Christian position is, I want them to hear. I want them to sit in these chairs. Whoever came here and didn't know I was preaching, I'm sorry. Dick should have been more upfront with that. But maybe there's something in here that God is going to use me to tell you. And then once I leave this, I'll probably forget everything I said, and that's a healthy thing to do. And my question is, are you going to listen to what the Lord's going to bring today? What is it to be known? Now, some of these verses, and Dick and I were talking about them, and listen, they're going to sound a little abrasive, okay, but I want you to understand that I didn't write the Bible, so, hey, don't blame me. Blame him. So this is a New American Standard Bible, Romans. Can we get that to Romans? I'm going to try to be a big shot. Oh, I screwed it up. He's coming next. All right, I'm going to leave it alone. Go get us back there. There we go. Sorry about that. And I need these, too. I know, I'm making you look good. I told everybody, you know, I come up here and you're going to be the stud for sure. Okay. Unbelief and its consequences. This is Romans 1, 18 through 20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of people who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly perceived, being understood by what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Sounds kind of tough. You have no excuse. Seems kind of mean, right? Well, how about this? What I was just talking about, he's omnipresent. He knows you. Whether you want to believe all you he has for you and inside of you, that's on you. But he already knows who you are. He created you. He knitted you in his mother's womb. That's the way it is. How about looking at it this way? If he knew you before creation, and he's saying this, Paul's saying this in a kind of a harsh manner, it's not because God doesn't want you to feel good about him. It's because he loves you so much that he would use a little harsh words. Listen, when we take our kids and they run into the street, we get a little smack. We're not nice. Oh, let me get you back to the sidewalk. No, you're firm with them, right? You give them a little bit of a push to get them back to where they need to be. I don't think God is being difficult in this. I think when he inspired him to write it like this, it's like, listen, you don't, I love you so much. I care about you so much. I'm going to make sure you have every tool to follow me, to love me, to cherish me, to glorify me, so that you have no excuses. How do you look at it? Are we looking at it in condemnation? Or are we looking at it maybe in conviction? There's nothing wrong with convicting somebody. But if you love somebody hard enough, long enough, strong enough, you're going to be firm about it. You're going to want to let them know, Heidi knows I love her. That's it. And sometimes she lets me know, and not the same I love you, but she's very firm. Very firm. Okay, if you want to click the next slide, we'll do this, because anybody know this guy? Yeah, somebody does. I said there'd be a couple people that knew him. Well, this is Audie Murphy. Audie Murphy was a second lieutenant in the Army. He served in World War II. He's got the Medal of Valor, Medal of Honor, Distinguished Service Cross, Silver Star. Murphy is the most decorated American soldier in World War II. Murphy, who saw combat in Italy and France, is credited in killing 240 German soldiers. He would go on to star in a movie about his life. A lot of you guys don't know him, but he was a pinnacle game changer in World War II in his own right. How about the next one, Richard Bong? Anybody know Richard Bong? Nope, nobody knows Richard Bong. He was a major. He was in the Army. He served in World War II. He has medals of valor were Medal of Honor, Distinguished Service Cross, Silver Star. Bong was the most prolific American fighter pilot in the world, downing 40 Japanese planes. General Douglas MacArthur awarded him the Medal of Honor, calling him the bravest of the brave. Or how about this lady, Madam C.J. Walker? Anybody know her? No? She was the child, a sibling of former slaves. Madam C.J. Walker, born Sarah Breedlove, was the first member of her family to be born outside of slavery. Walker holds the Guinness Book of World Records for being the first female self-made millionaire. She was born in 1867, people. She was a big deal. She made her fortune creating the Madam C. Walker Manufacturing Company, which specialized in cosmetics and hair care products for black women. She was known. I can tell you she was known. And how about my last one here, Mary Ellen Wilkes? You wouldn't be able to read this slide right now if it weren't for Mary Wilkes. She is the most famous for her work as a computer programmer, logic designer on the Link computer, the first personal computer ever made. Her groundbreaking coding paved the way for the modern laptops and tablets, and focused on allowing uses to edit documents in real time. After she left the world of computer science, Wilkes attended the Harvard Law School and was a highly successful trial lawyer for 40 years. Now retired, she should be. I mean, God, she was born in 37. Wilkes often gives talks to computer science students about women's large roles in early computer programming. She's a big woman. She knew a lot of stuff. She's retired and still talking to students. She's a big deal. And she's known, right? To some, but not to all. The reason why I did this, I want it to be a contrast to you to understand. God knows you far better than we will ever know this, or you'll ever remember this. So my thing to you is, what's holding us back from knowing the one that knows me or knows you? I'll tell you why, because this next one's going to be a tough read. It's a lot of scripture. I'm going to try to break it down as best I can. I've been walking with Christ for 15 years, so there might be a couple stumbling blocks that I put in there, but I want you to understand. We're going to go to Romans, yes. So this is some deep words, but I hope I kicked this off the way God said I should. 16, we'll start in that. In the first piece of the dough, if the first piece of the dough is holy, then the lump is also. And if the root is holy, the branches are as well. But if some of the branches are broken off, and you, being a wild olive, are grafted in among them and become a partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are arrogant, remember that it is you who supports the root, but the root supports you. Let's take a little pause there for a second. So we're all branches. We're Gentiles, right? We can be grafted in, we can be grafted out, but we still have a God that's in control. He's the root. He's the control of everything that we do. You will say then, branches are broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right, quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if it did not spare the natural branches, he would not spare you either. See then the kindness and severity of God to those who fell. Severity, but to you, God's kindness. If you continue in his kindness, for otherwise you will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and contrary to the native nature, were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? I'm a wild branch, but God has a pure root, right? And sometimes we get cut off. We can cut off our branch ourselves, and they can be nothing but useful but for kindling, right? But what does it say? That God has the ability and the desire to graft you back in. So when we're talking about the harshness of some of these scriptures, the reality is it's all based on us. The more we know God, the more we're going to be able to get to where God wants us to be. For if you're cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and the contrary nature to the grafted into the cultivated olive tree, how much more, I read this over, sorry, the natural branch should be grafted into your own olive tree. For I do not want you, brothers and sisters, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come. To know God is for us. It's not for him. He already knows. We can't be dancing around these things and not understanding that God allows us to have free will. But if he's willing to allow us to be broken off the branch, he's also willing to allow us to be grafted back in. Okay? So knowing God and understanding it can help you understand that we're not... When I said I'm in process. I'm continually changing as a person. I want to be the person that God created me to be, But I want him to sand off or polish or sharpen the things that he wants out of me, getting rid of the bad things that are no longer there. And that passage led me to believe that God's patiently wanting to be known by people. He's patiently waiting for you to get to know him. We got to understand that. We should be focusing on our efforts to know the Father and to be known by the Father. To be known could also be a way where we backslide in our own walk. Sometimes we're like, it's too much for me. I can't do that. I don't want to put myself in that position because if I'm vulnerable, the more I know, the worse it gets. God wants to wash that away. We're supposed to come boldly to the throne. Come boldly and say, look, this is a problem I have. This is an issue I have. This is something that's going on in my life. I need to be broken off. And the more we know that he's a loving, caring, forgiving Father, the easier it is to get to know him. We know what the Father wants. We know what's right and wrong. Many times we hear, that's not like you. I heard that a lot. Why would you do or say something like that? That's because what we think, that's what we create in our own mind. What typically follows from those statements? That's not who you are. I don't even know who you are anymore. I've had those arguments, not just with my wife, with my siblings. Listen, if we perceive everything based on what we see as knowing, we're going to create all kinds of havoc in our own life. If we just understand that God knows us through and through, then we don't have to have those conversations. God says this, we can be cut off, yet we can also be grafted back in. So I want you to understand the picture that I'm trying to get here is that no matter what you do, it's not based on works. It's just God's already created you for who he wants you to be. All the confidence we need to understand is who we need to know, how we need to know him. Believing is seeing. I talk about this at our church. Seeing is believing for us. We see something, that's a camera. We see that. The difference is with God, it's believing, and then he reveals things to you. So it's based on faith. It's based on how you see, how you are, where your position is. If I'm going to believe that God's going to make changes in my life, and I can't see him, I can't touch him, I can't smell him, I can't do any of those things, but I believe that he's going to do a good work in my life, he'll reveal those things to me. He'll direct me to that path. We're going to go into Matthew 7. I never knew you. I said, these are going to be tough ones, and I want you to understand where I'm coming from. Hopefully I tie it up well for you. Starting in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I would declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. We need to know that the Father is, he's pretty serious about this. Pretty scary, if you'd ask me when I read these. But I want to tell you a human side. Now, I've been following Christ for 15 years. I moved from here in 2014. We got into a church down there. Heidi and I became, you call them home groups. We call them life groups. We became life group leaders. Then we became life group leaders over 9 families. And then I became an elder. I'm knocking on 1 year anniversary of being an elder. I'm like, I'm on track, man. God's gonna be so proud of me. I'm just killing it. I'm knocking the doors down. I'm spreading Jesus. I pull into a gas station one day and I'm going to get some gas. And typical down there, I keep Fig Newtons in my car. Hallelujah to my wife, because I would have got granola bars, but the homeless down there, their teeth are really bad. So when you give them a granola bar, they'll just throw it away. She said, no, you got to give them something soft. So I got Fig Newtons, I'm a good Christian. If they're hungry, give them something to eat. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. So that's what I'm doing. I'm not giving them money. I'm not going to help their habit. Well, they have this thing down there at the gas stations, and people will pull their car in, they'll open their gas cap, and they'll stand there and they'll ask people for gas money. And I'm in a hurry. I got Jesus with me. I pull into the driveway, into my lane, and I see it coming. He's coming to me, and I'm like, I don't want to deal with this guy, because I know what he wants, okay? Because I'm a good Christian, and God's given me discernment and all that good stuff. I'm waiting him. I go out, and I pump my gas, get back in. He comes to me. I go, no. Then God convicts me. I got $5 sitting in my console. I don't really care. I'm going to give him the $5. I don't ever give anybody money, so I'll give him money. I go and hand him the money, thinking he's going to take the money, close his trunk. What they do is they'll close their gas cap, get in their car, and drive away. They got $5. I hand him the $5, mad about it, walking in. Next thing you know, the guy's walking behind me. This guy needs $5 for gas. He really does. Now, the good Christian in me, I'm like, oh, man, you missed that one. I'm standing in line. God says, put $20 in his tank. I'm like, really? I just gave him $5. I mean, $5. I'm standing there, give him $20, put $20 in his tank, give him $5, tell him to buy lunch. All right. So I'm standing in line. Now I've got an attitude because I'm a good Christian with that, a good steward with my money. Now I'm just giving money away because God says it. I hand him, I tell the lady, put $20 in that pump over there. I turn around to him and I said, take that $5 and get yourself some lunch. Just like that. I walked out into the parking lot and he's following me and he's saying, thank you, sir. I said, listen, obviously God gave you ears to hear. So whatever you're doing, stop it. And I go to my truck. I go open the door. I lock the keys in my truck. I'm like, dude, I just gave him $25. All the money belongs to him. He doesn't care about the money. What he cares about is right here. I was so caught up into being righteous that I destroyed the very thing that he was trying to instill into my heart. So, $100 later, and 15 minutes in the Houston heat waiting for somebody to get in there because I was so ashamed that I needed to punish myself. I didn't want to go in and get air conditioning because I wanted to feel what it like being close as I was. I might as well just hang out in it. It was 100 degrees out. They unlocked it, and I said, you know what, God, I am sorry. There's nothing else. I can't change what I said. I can't change my mind. I can't understand why I would be so pompous and arrogant to somebody who really needed some gas. And God didn't take the $100 away from me for any other purpose to say, listen, I run all this. This is all my stuff. And you know what? $125 didn't bother me a bit. How do you feel? How does it feel what you did to somebody that I love? Regardless if he's a Christian, regardless if he's doing whatever he's doing, he loves them. And who am I to stand in his way and say something so arrogant, so rude, so holier than thou? You know, it makes you think about the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees, right? How they treated everybody. And here I am professing that I'm a Christ follower. And listen, that's what I'm talking about being in process. I'm not who God says I am until I get there. But I'm going to make every effort to pay attention to those little nuances in life when God says, you know what? You need to learn something today. And I learned something. Now I'm more cautious. Does that mean I'm going to give $5 to everybody down the street? Absolutely not. But I'll tell you what, God will give you a lesson when you need it. And it'll cost him everything because he did when he went on the cross. It cost him everything. So $125 may be a big deal to me, but it was nothing to God other than that's the way I'm going to get to Fran's heart today. I'll get off that pulpit. Well, wait a minute, I'm on one, so. But here's the good news. The secret of the Lord, this is Psalms 25, 14. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he'll make them known his covenant. Here's the thing. He loves me, and I love him. And he knows I didn't care about giving that guy $5, $20, my own emotions. God doesn't care about feelings, just so you all know. He don't care about your emotions and feelings. Doesn't. He loves you unconditionally, but he wants your heart. He doesn't want anything else. He'll make known his covenant. How would he do that? That's by salvation, going to the church, whether it's today's your first time or whether you've been coming here for eons. That's how you know. That's how you know his covenant. Understanding biblical consequences. That's a healthy fear. There's nothing wrong with having a healthy fear. We should fear the Lord a little bit. There should be some fear. Christ died for all. It does not mean only some. Understand what I'm saying? However, nowhere in the Bible does it say he was a substitute for all. We've got to do something. We either step into what we're doing, or we got to seek somebody and say, hey, listen, I really don't understand all this stuff, but I need somebody's help. I need a Dick Beaumont in my life that just tells me to come next week. I don't need a bunch of answers. God will give them to me. God will put the right people in the place to give me those answers. And you got to believe that, because he picked you before Dick picked me. He didn't even know I was coming. And sorry about that. You're going to have to take that up with him. The key point here, the key point here is for whoever believeth in him, that means anybody, shall receive everlasting life. Everybody thinks we got to do something, and we got to have something, got to say something, got to bring something. Just be who you are and let him fix you. You got to take that chance. Understanding he was the sacrifice for the whole world, he instructed us to have personal relationship with him. Listen, I talked to him all the way from Pete Bed Road down here, asking him to speak into me and let his words come out, not mine. I don't care about being up here if the only reason is, one, I get to stand out and be important to my friends that I love down here so they can see what God's done in my life when they accepted me in the door. That's it. I don't get any other grace than saying, you know what? The things that the people that knew me when Heidi and I walked into here, look what God did because you brought me here. You helped me here. You got me to where I am today. I didn't do it. I couldn't do it under my own strength and without God's strength, but I had people in here that spoke directly into my soul and allowed me to be here right now. I don't get here by myself at all. In other words, to know him is to know his ways. He is able if you were willing. And some of us, that's going to be hard. Some of us, that's hard to choice to make. But you know what? I die every morning to myself. I make so many mistakes, it's not even funny. And I'm not trying to be perfect. I'm trying to be Fran Rowe, the one you created. Take off me what's broken and put in there something good. And you know what? And bring the right person. Somebody that's sitting in that chair right now, they come here next week, they may have something for you, for you, for you. You don't know, and they don't know. So don't try to possess that we know somebody. The only one that knows us is the guy upstairs. If you consider yourself a Christian, you better know how to love like Jesus. How do we achieve that? We need to know Jesus. I'm responsible for my relationship with Christ. And if God does a work in me, then if I'm doing what God wants me to do, I'm going to be doing a work in that person and that person and that person. And guess what? That person and that person, they're going to speak into somebody else's life. It's not about us. It's about, what am I doing? What am I contributing to my God to help them? So let me try to speed this up, because if not, we're going to be here forever and you guys will not let me come back. Three simple ways. But wait, there's more. Everybody see those commercials? But wait, there's more. Never mind. Speak to Jesus in prayer. This is a big deal. One of the hardest things I ever had was praying. How do you pray? I don't know how to pray. Hey, dude, just help me out here. I'm in trouble. Hey, God, do this for me. Hey, God, do that for me. There's nothing standing between you and the Lord. Sometimes we just need to cry out with him with confidence that he's listening. Praying may seem one-sided, but I can tell you there's something special about seeking him in anything and everything that is going on in my life. These are my words. I have truly tried to communicate with him in first person, and I have benefited from having a personal relationship with him. There are different ways to pray. Sometimes I pray in tongues. I'll get into that easy. The good thing about praying in tongues is stated by good friend Alan Hunt. Speaking in tongues is a private session or conversation with God, and not even the enemy can understand what we are speaking to one another. We got to be careful what we're saying here. Go to the Bible, get your doctrine. I'm not professing anything. I'm just telling you what I do, what I'm doing in my life to speak to God for me. And listen, the enemy is afoot. If you haven't seen what's going on in the United States, if you haven't seen what's going on in this world, there's some crazy stuff going on. And listen, I want to keep as many opportunities away from that guy as possible. So that's me. In my quiet time, I'll speak that way to God. Because if God can hear me, so can the loser. And I want to make sure I'm protecting myself. I got my family to think about. I got my brothers and sisters in Christ to think about. I want to protect us. Prayer can also allow us to get things out in the open. I don't know how many times I've been in my car. Thank God, because when I grew up, if you were singing in the car, people were trying to find out what you were doing. Now you got hands free, so you can talk to God all day long and nobody knows. If you feel funny about that, you shouldn't, but it allows us to get things out in the open. Jesus knows everything about you and me. Trust me. I learned this in a preaching message the other day from one of our elders, Nick Smith. We all do it. Don't act like you don't. When somebody comes to the house, everything goes in one of the bedrooms. Everything you don't want anybody to see, you stuff it over here, you put it under there. You let them in your living room. If you need anything out of the kitchen, I'll go get that because I didn't want to, I didn't get the stovetop, so let me go get your coffee. We do that. And we do that with God sometimes too. And I'm telling you right now, you're going to have to let them into the darkest places where you put all your stuff. Don't give them the stuff that you want to give them. You got to give them everything. You should be able to open every door in your house and allow God in there and say, look, this is broken. I need this. Over here, this part in the closet where nobody goes. You don't have to open it up to everybody here. You need to open up to the one who knows you. He already knows. He's just waiting. He just wants you to speak into him. I'll get off that. Prayer is important. Prayer is a practical way to get to know the Father. You talk to him. You pray to him. Listen, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Somebody wrote a song about that because they probably had a lot of brokenness in their life, but that doesn't mean God didn't love them. Second reason is repent to Jesus. Listen, you don't believe it, that's okay. I'm going to love you just the same, but I can tell you from being on the other side of it, I've been doing this for 15 years, God's never let me down. He hasn't given me everything I wanted, but he has allowed me to touch places on this earth that I never would have been able to touch before. And he's used me in a powerful way. So I would suggest if anybody's having any questions, and listen, we can all fall backslide. Everybody can. I've had dry seasons too. So we can feel that. But sometimes you got to recommit. You're in process. Don't put so much onto you that you feel like you got to be perfect, because God already did that. He was already perfect. So you can't compete with him. You're not going to hang on a cross with him. You're not going to do any of those things. Just submit to him. Quit fighting yourself. It's pointless. And you'll all find that because he says every knee shall bow anyway. So I'm just trying to help you get a shortcut. We need to be comfortable with dying to ourselves daily. Whatever happened in the past is forgiven. That's why baptism is so important. I'm dying to what I was before. I'm being raised into a new creation. And you know what? You may have to say that every morning. God, I made that mistake yesterday. Please help me to be a better man today. That's it. That's all you're asking to do. You're not asking for, that teach me how to create an atom bomb. It's simple. It's just, God, I'm not perfect. I need you to come into my life. I need you to help me. Repent to it. Be diligent with your relationship. On true, thorough repentance. Listen, these are things you got to know about them. God loves you with a passionate, absorbed interest. God cannot help seeing you through the eyes of love. Regardless how well you have performed, God sees you through red-tinted glasses. Those are the blood of Jesus. You don't have to worry about this. You're putting too much on yourselves. Your identity of who you are in Christ is important to God. Not necessarily you or what you do. He's already, we spoke this, I hammered that. He's omnipresent. He doesn't care. He knows you. Don't be anyone but yourselves. God wants you just the way you are so he can be open, so you can be open to who he wants you to become. I don't want him to change one thing about me except the things that he doesn't want. I want to be the better version of who he said I was. Last one, and nobody likes this one, but you know, serve your church. Listen, I can tell you right now, the most growth that I've ever got is being involved in something within the church. Because you know what church people do? They talk about church stuff. They do church stuff. There's so many nuggets of truth and understanding and commitment and redirection in your life. You can see somebody struggling with something and you can learn off that. Or you can pour into somebody. Nate's my man and he knows. We got a history. But that guy connected with me and I connected with him. And he's the better man for it and made me a better man that gave me purpose. He was the linchpin of me being comfortable in church. He doesn't know it, but if it wasn't for that relationship, I didn't feel like I was worthy. I couldn't keep up with all you Christian people. You guys were stifling me. You were too perfect. Couldn't handle it. It's a lie. Often we want to be around God, but not involved with God. Here are some misconceptions of why we are hesitant to serve or have a personal relationship with Christ. We fear him. We're afraid of him. We don't have a clear understanding of him. We're ashamed. Sometimes we feel unworthy or feeling unwanted. Serving in his house helps foster an opportunity to know Jesus. This will facilitate a personal relationship with Christ. The more you serve, the more you learn who Jesus is and how important you are to him. And here's the thing. Dr. Phil said this, so it's got to be good. If you're too big to serve, then you're too small to lead. How's that grab you? Hebrews 10:25. We're almost done. So, not forsaking our assembling together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging to one another, and all the more you see the day drawing near. God wants us to be together. He needs us to be in communion with each other. Serving together opens up opportunities to know God. I already talked about that. And you know what? Your brothers and sisters will guide you. They will. If they care about God as much as they say they do, they're going to help you. And shame on them if they don't. This is the last thing I'm going to talk about. We talked about prayer. We talked about repentance. We talked about serving in church. This is what Christ says of you. And I got these for anybody that wants them. I printed like 65. They're only $55 a piece. No. I want you to hear what God says of you. Are they on there? Yes, they are. You are the salt and light of the earth. And these are all scriptures you can go and read up. These are true things, and people that are questioning, if they've fallen back, if they're struggling, whatever it is, these are facts. God wrote this through somebody, and he wanted us to hear them. Or else there would have been 67 books. There's only 66. So these are all good. You are the salt and light of the earth. You are the branch of the true vine, a channel of his life. You have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. You are a personal witness of Christ. You are God's temple. You are a minister of reconciliation for God. He has things for you to do. You are God's co-worker. Hear that. You are seated with Christ in heavenly realm. We're already there. We're just not there yet. You are God's workmanship. We're special in every way. You may approach God with a freedom and confidence. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you. Don't be anyone but yourself. God wants you to stay just the way you are so you can be open to who he wants you to become. I have these things in here. We do this thing called Steps to Freedom. And what we do is when we take somebody through Steps to Freedom, it's dealing with all kinds of stuff in their life. These are things that you can do if you really want them and you really want some help. It's not up on the stage or up on the screen, but it's, are you accepted? Are you secure? Are you significant? And I would I would encourage you, and they have scriptures to back them up. I would encourage you to post these either in your bathroom and say these things to yourself. We tell everyone that we take through steps, 40 days. Take it for 40 days, reinforcing what God says you are, or who God says you are, and believe that, because that's what's going to make you known. That's how God's going to, that's how you're going to know that God knows you, by just breaking these down. Now, I don't profess that I've made it, I've reached it, but let me tell you something. I am grateful, grateful for that man right there, so I can do this right here. I couldn't have done it by myself, and I don't think God wanted it any other way, because he knew me, and I just paid attention. Why don't we stand? Heavenly gracious Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to share your word, Lord. Thank you for all the things that you're doing here with the building, Lord. I want to bless this this church. I want, Lord, your hands in everything that goes on. This is just a building, Lord. You're the big C, you're the big church. But, Lord, the blood, the sweat, the tears, the many lives that have been saved through this building, Lord, I ask you to bless this entirely. I ask you to bless the leaders here. I ask you to bless the members here. I ask to bless the people that aren't members that are going to become members, because this is the place to be, Lord. I'm asking you to pull the people in. This is one house under your authority, God. There's no one above you. Thank you for this opportunity to share with my brothers and sisters, Lord. I pray that you continue to do your work in me and them. Lord, thank you for all that you're doing. I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.